ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणाललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णम्। Welcome all of you all to the Sunday Feast program, Radha Gopinath Temple. So today we are going to discuss the concept of Sakhyam. So as all of you all must have some idea that in the Sunday Feast lectures we are discussing in sequence the Navavidha Bhakti, the nine process of devotional service, and the whole concept of Navavidha Bhakti or nine process of devotional service is that how we can connect with Krishna at different levels according to different processes that are recommended by the acharyas and by the scriptures. So today we are in the midst of a very important aspect of the process of Sakhyam. Sakhyam essentially is friendship. But I would want to discuss this concept of Sakhyam at multiple levels. One is Krishna's relationship with his friends. Now, when we study Krishna's relationship with his friends, the question is, the pastimes are very beautiful, but how is it related to us? Because we are not Krishna Sakha, you know, we are not Krishna's friends. So I will conclude by talking about how Sakhyam is relevant in our life today. Because all other processes, it's very easy to relate to our life. Vandanam, we know, we have to do prayer. Dasyam, we know, we have to serve Krishna some way. Archanam, we know, we need to do deity worship. Shravanam, Kirtanam, we know what we can do. But Sakhyam, what we can't make go and become friends with Krishna. You can't stand on the altar and put your hands on Krishna's shoulder, you know. Your friends. So what is Sakhyam exactly in our life? That we will also see towards the second half of today's discussion. So I'm going to share many thoughts on Sakhyam from the point of view of Krishna's friendship. So the nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami talks about four types of friends. So, those who call themselves as Krishna's Sakha, Krishna's friends, there are four types, or four varieties. I am first dealing with Krishna's friends in Vrindavan, and then we'll venture out of Vrindavan. So, out of the four types of friends, the first type of friend is known as a well-wisher or a bandhu. This is Sakhyam at a certain level. So, well-wishers or bandhus, generally they are a little older than Krishna. And there is a lot of paternal affection in them. So the duty or the role of the well-wishers, the way they are friends with Krishna, is that they try to protect Krishna. So whenever they find any danger, they kind of protect Krishna. And they always carry weapons. So they always carry weapons to make sure that they are available to when Krishna is in danger. Of course, when actual danger comes, they all run away. And Krishna only does the job. But that's a mood, you know. Like one time when Krishna was in Vrindavan and he was walking towards the Govardhan Hill with all his friends, suddenly all these well-wishers, the older friends of Krishna, they saw on top of a Govardhan Hill, they saw Arishta Surukam. They all removed their swords, their sticks and all that and started running towards the Arishtasur. And suddenly one of the friends said, "Hey, this is not Arishtasur. This is a cloud, black cloud, which is in the shape of a bull, you know." When actual Arishtasur comes, all of them run away. So this is the first category of friendship, which is known as well-wishers or bandhu. The second category of friendship is known as just friend, or they call it ordinary friend sometimes. This is known as Sakha. So these friends are typically younger than Krishna. And the way they deal with Krishna is that they try to serve Krishna. They render service to Krishna on a personal level. Like one time, there was one friend whose name was Vishala. So he came... So these friends are always desperately trying to hang around Krishna. You know, they want some or the other opportunity to serve Krishna. So in the morning when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he goes to the pasturing grounds. Vishala one day, he came much earlier to Krishna's house. And he was standing at the door only. He was not entering. Because he's younger. So he doesn't have that kind of facility that he can just walk in. So he was standing at the door. Mother Yashoda called him. "Hey, why are you standing over there? Come inside." So Mother Yashoda called Vishala inside. And Mother Yashoda was dressing up Krishna. And as she was dressing up Krishna, she told Vishal, "Why don't you also help me?" And naturally, because he's a sakha, he's an ordinary devotee. And he's ordinary friend. And he's a little younger than Krishna. Immediately, what Vishala did was he started putting the ankle bells of Krishna at the feet of Krishna. This is typical of somebody who is younger than Krishna. They don't want to dress the turban of Krishna. They'll go to the lotus feet of Krishna straight. And Vishala, as he was dressing Krishna and putting his ankle bells, Krishna took a flute and he was hitting him on his head. You know? And so that Vishala enjoyed like anything. So he was so happy, "Krishna is hitting me," you know. And Mother Yashoda was laughing, Krishna was laughing, and Vishala was laughing. When Krishna would kill some demons, every day Kamsa would send some demon, and Krishna would kill some demon. And generally, it's like a fight, you know. The demon throws Krishna somewhere, Krishna throws a demon. So it's all a mess, quite. So generally, after a fight, Krishna's hairstyle gets disturbed. His dress style gets disturbed. His ankle bells go here and there. So as soon as fight gets over, all these friends come running and they say, "Hey, you brush the hair of Krishna. One fellow will, you know, he'll fan Krishna. One person will massage Krishna's feet." So all these friends are just looking for an opportunity how they can serve Krishna in this way. So these are friends who are constantly conscious of Krishna's needs, Krishna's interests and Krishna's concerns. So they are more conscious of what will please Krishna, what will benefit Krishna. Like in we find in this pastime of the Brahmana, the Yagyik Brahmanas, where all these Brahmanas are performing Yagya. And these are the friends who tell Krishna that particular time that we are feeling hungry. Please help us. Why they are telling Krishna that we are feeling hungry? Because they know that Krishna is hungry at this point of time. So generally, their mood is constantly how to serve Krishna in a menial way. The third type of friend is a little higher, which is known as confidential friend. They are called as Priya Sakhas. So these friends are of the same age as Krishna. Sridhama, Sudama, Dama, Amshu, all these are Priya Sakhas. They are more intimate friends of Krishna. And they give pleasure to Krishna in their by their friendship. Madhumangal falls in this category, you know. Confidential friends. So these friends, because they are of the same age as Krishna, they have fun with Krishna in different ways. And Krishna loves this kind of fun. Like for example, one time Madhumangal, he went to Krishna and he told, so Madhumangal loved laddus. So he would eat lots of laddus. So one time he ate one full basket of laddus, still he was feeling hungry. So he went to Krishna and told him, Krishna, if you give me more laddus, I'll give you blessing. And with my blessing, Shrimati Radharani will become more happy with you, you know. And Krishna actually arranged more laddus for Madhumangal that day, you know. Another time, all the friends of Krishna, they decided to go and steal butter in somebody's house, one gopi's house. And just when they were going to steal butter, they had warned Madhumangal, because generally Madhumangal is the slow one among all of them, you know. He's too fat and he's like chubby, you know. And he cannot resist food, whatever. So he, for him, he is the last person to leave the prasad and come out, you know. So one day they all decided to steal in one gopi's house. By this time all the gopis in Vrindavan knew that Krishna can come and steal any time. So each gopi had their own different ways of making sure that Krishna doesn't get to steal easily. So one gopi, she had a very brilliant idea. She put bells everywhere in her house. In every room, in every door, every window, there were bells hanging. And this gopi, she knew that Krishna is going to come today. She was ready. So when the friends saw all the bells hanging everywhere, they told Krishna, Krishna, this house is impossible. There are too many bells. The bells will ring, gopis will catch us. Krishna said, don't worry. I am Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know. So whenever Krishna says that, all the friends laugh. They don't care only for Krishna being Supreme Personality of Godhead. One time Krishna tried saying that. They were having a discussion and with all his confidential friends, Krishna was saying that I am God. All the friends said, if you are God, then we are also God. So Krishna, he said, come on, how can you say that? When I was a just born child, I killed Putana. So they said, you didn't kill Putana. When Putana caught you, Mother Yashoda told all the Brahmanas. And all the Brahmanas are chanting mantras, and that's why Putana died. You didn't do anything, you know. And then Krishna said, what about Agasur? You know, I killed Agasur. All of you all had already died inside. They said, no, you didn't kill Agasur. We went inside and we had already killed him. You only came and took credit, you know. You cut only his dead body. His body is already dead, you know. So Krishna and... So they try... So these are the friends whom you can't impress at all, you know. I mean, Krishna can't impress. So every devotee has to have some friends like this for his protection. So during the Govardhan Lila, all these friends were below the Govardhan Hill, and Krishna was holding the Govardhan Hill with his left hand, this little finger of his left hand. And at some point of time, all these friends, the confidential friends of Krishna, they told Krishna that, come on, you have been holding the hill for too long, you leave, we will catch it. And then they all put sticks below the hill to hold the hill. So then Krishna said, should I leave? They said, of course leave. And Madhumangal, he shuddered, you know, he said, my Brahma Tejas is enough. You do remove all your sticks also. Only the Brahma Tejas can hang, you know. And then Krishna, he removed his little finger for a few seconds. And then all the sticks broke. And all the friends started yelling, please Krishna, help us. And then Krishna got the hill again. So like this, these are friends that Krishna has tough time impressing. So when Krishna said that, you know, don't worry, I am God. They said, we don't trust you at all. You always put us in trouble by saying this. So Krishna said, look what I'm going to do. And he called the demigod who's in charge for the bells. And he told this demigod, make sure that when we are going in, when we are there inside, don't ring any bell. The demigod said, of course Krishna, whatever you say. And then Krishna and all his friends went in and none of the bells rang. And Krishna said, just see, I am God. You can't do this. I have done this. And the friends, they said, okay, fine, let's get into the main business, you know. And they went, and all the butter pots in the room, all of them had bells hanging. So, but none of the bells were ringing, so they were harmless. So Krishna took out all the butter pots, they all started eating. And Krishna put his hand in, and he was going to just eat one lump of butter in his mouth. Suddenly, all the bells in the house started ringing. Now these friends started panicking. They said, Krishna, we told you, we can't trust you. And Krishna and all the friends, they ran like mad outside. And as they were running out, they jumped out of the window, one by one. All of them jumped out. And Madhumangala was the last one. And when he jumped out, half his body went out and half remained inside. His stomach all stuck in between, you know. So Krishna and his friends were pulling him from outside and the gopis were pulling him from inside. And Madhumangala was like in big trouble, you know. And finally Krishna realized that no point in trying too hard. He let go Madhumangala. And the gopis took Madhumangala inside and they beat him very badly, you know. And then finally, of course, Krishna, he had a doubt. He called the demigod in charge for the bells. He said, what nonsense. I told you not to ring. Why did you ring? The demigod said, my dear Krishna, you only in the scriptures have told that whenever offering is done to you, bells have to ring. So we have two contradictory instructions, you know. Here you told us not to ring, but in the scriptures you told us you have to ring. So we didn't know what to do. So anyway, now Madhumangala had to be saved. So then the gopis were beating up Madhumangala like anything. So finally, Madhumangala was in tears. He said, come on Krishna, what have you done to me? You know, I'm your friend. You can't allow me to be beaten like this. So Krishna, he went to the gopis and he told all the gopis that because you have offended such an exalted Brahmana like Madhumangala, look at his Brahma Tejas. This Brahmana, he can actually save the whole of Vrindavan. He has so much power. Because you have offended him, all of you all will get very ugly husbands. So the gopis were scared, you know, because this is at a high cost, you know. So the gopis said, what should we do? There is only one option, Krishna said. Feed Madhumangala lot of laddus. Only way to make Madhumangala happy is feed laddus. So the gopis, they actually made a throne in Vrindavan. You find that throne even now in Barsana. And on the throne they made Madhumangala sit. And all of them were feeding laddus to Madhumangala. And he kept eating, you know. And as he kept eating, his anger reduced little by little. So this is Krishna's confidential friends. Another time, so these are friends who give pleasure to Krishna by having fun with him. So here there is no offense. I mean, if people like us try to do something like this with Krishna, we'll be in trouble. You know, one time Krishna was in Vrindavan and they were having lunch together. So one boy, he came to Krishna and he said, my dear Krishna, my mother has made the best type of laddus and I want to feed you. But my mother has told me, before I eat, I have to feed you the first laddu. So Krishna said, please give me. So this friend said, the condition is that I will give you, provided you close your eyes. Only when you close your eyes, I will feed you laddu with my own hand. So Krishna closed his eyes. And this boy, instead of putting laddus in Krishna's mouth, he took some flowers that were very bitter in taste. And he put that in Krishna's mouth. And Krishna, when he bit, his facial expressions became like really disturbed, you know, because if you eat something bitter, what happens? You eat Kerala, you know, the face changes, expression changes a little bit. So all the friends, they loved that bitter expression of Krishna's face and they had fun. So now if we try the same thing in the deity kitchen, you know, when you cook for Krishna, instead of putting sugar, you put citric acid, you know, you put something else. And you offer that to Krishna, maybe Krishna's face will change, but it's not the same expression for us. Because this is not Sakyaras, this is Dasyaras. Dasyaras means perfection. Sakyaras means there's a lot of fun. Because Krishna enjoys that rasa with them. So, and the fourth type of friendship is known as intimate friendship. This is Priya Narma Sakha. This is like even more confidential, even more intimate. So in this category, Arjuna, Subala, Vasanta, Ujjwala, all these friends come. So it is explained that the intimate talks between Krishna and this category of friends, like Subala, it is explained that the talks were so high and so intimate that all the other friends of Krishna could not understand anything they were speaking. That was the level of friendship that Krishna had with these special category of friends. Krishna would send messages to the gopis through these friends, and the gopis would send messages to Krishna through these friends. These were Priya Narma Sakha. So the qualities of Krishna's friendship, Sakhyam essentially means fearlessness. At our level, at best, the relationship that we are supposed to have with Krishna is Dasyam. And Dasyam means fear, has to be there. So if there is no fear in Dasyam, while serving Krishna or while serving the devotees, you are fearless, you are bindas, then definitely you will make some offense. Kuch toh gadbad ho jayega. There is a tendency for a conditioned soul to take association of great devotees or even the Lord very lightly. And therefore, the best mood in which we at our level have to serve Krishna is the level of Dasyam. So that there is some fear element in it. But in case of the friends of Krishna, there is absolutely no fear element. They are fearless. That is a quality of Sakhyam. And the second quality of Krishna's, of Sakhyam, is that they are convinced of Krishna's protection. They have not even a tinge of doubt about Krishna's protection. Like when Krishna was in the midst of this forest fire in Vrindavan with all his friends and the cows, they were in the forest fire. So all the friends of Krishna, they said, "Krishna, Krishna, Mahavira, please save us. You're such a powerful personality." Krishna, he only told one statement, only one thing to the friends. The only thing he told to the friends was, "Close your eyes." Can you imagine what a statement it is? It's a very powerful statement, because when you are in the midst of a forest fire, when you are in the midst of any fire, if somebody tells you, "Close your eyes," will you close? Come on, how will you close your eyes? You know, the eyes are the only source for you to save yourself. And here when Krishna tells his friends, "Close your eyes," all of them, they only say one thing. "All right." That's it. And they all close their eyes. Can you imagine what it means to close one's eyes in the middle of the forest fire? It essentially means complete faith. It's not that half the friends of Krishna were, you know, "I saw ek aankh band, ek aankh khula," you know. They were not looking at Krishna. They were not like, you know, trying to see if Krishna actually can do something, you know. Complete faith. They just closed their eyes. This is the quality of Sakhyam. And the other quality of Sakhyam is that they are on a level equal to Krishna. Now you might say, this doesn't make sense. Because in one sense, if you see what the demons are trying to do, the kind of faith and the kind of understanding they have of Krishna, there is a kind of understanding that these friends also have. The demons say, "Krishna is not God." And all these friends also saying, "Krishna is not God." The demons are saying, "We are equal to Krishna." And all these friends also saying, "We are equal to Krishna." So if you see from that point of view, Sakhyam seems to be almost like at the same par with the demons who are connected with Krishna. But the difference is that the whole mood of Sakhyam, the bottom line behind Sakhyam is, how can I serve Krishna by being his friend? So essentially, in all the rasas, of Navayuda Bhakti, in all the processes of Navayuda Bhakti, there is one constant factor. The one constant factor is that there is a tinge of Dasyam in all. Whether you are doing Sakhyam, whether you are doing Atmanivedanam, whether you are doing, you know, whatever you are doing, the whole mood is, in this mood I will serve Krishna. So though they are friends of Krishna, they are not really at the level, in the wavelength of mindset like the demons, because the demons are trying to control Krishna, they're trying to dominate Krishna, they're trying to subjugate Krishna. But the friends, by being equal to Krishna, they're trying to serve Krishna. in a totally different way. As soon as the concept of Sakhyam comes, one of the most intimate understandings of Sakhyam in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the story of Krishna and Sudama, where Krishna's friend Sudama, the kind of devotion and the kind of friendship that he had with Krishna was on a very superior level, and he demonstrates what Sakhyam is on a deeper spirit. So the first thing that we learn from Sudama's pastime is that Sudama did not come to Krishna thinking that he'll get something from Krishna. Sakhyam is not about gaining something. Generally, when you have, in today's world, what is contacts? The moment you say, I have contact with this big person, that means at some point of time, I will take advantage of that contact. That's what it means. And Sudama here, he had contact with Krishna, who is the biggest person. But when Sudama went to Krishna, he did not go with the mindset that I am going to take advantage of that friendship. He only went with one intention. I will get an opportunity to see Krishna, have darshan of Krishna. And second, I can serve him in some small way from my capacity. Can you imagine, at his level, at his poverty level also, Sudama decided to go and take something for Krishna when he visited Krishna. So essentially what it means, when we visit Krishna, when we come to see Krishna, we shouldn't come empty handed. Sudama, in the initial days, Srila Prabhupada, he actually made it a compulsion to all his initial disciples, the young boys and girls in America. They said, when you come to temple, when you come to see Krishna, get something for Krishna. And in those days, what the devotees would do was, when they would walk down from their houses, from wherever they would stay to the temple, they would pass by some garden, they would pluck flowers, you know, and get the flowers and offer it to Krishna. Because what Prabhupada said remained in their mind. And that's exactly what Sudama is doing here. Sudama came to Krishna not to ask something from Krishna, but to give something to Krishna. That's friendship. So Sakhyam is not about taking advantage of their equality, but wanting to serve. In today's world, friendship is all with a mind of being selfish. Friendship with the mindset that I want to be friend with this person so that I get advantage. In schools and colleges, friends are chosen among those who have good notes. You know, they take good notes, they have, you know, all the information. Uske saath dost banenge, hum log bunk kar sakte. We can do all the bunking and last minute I'll get notes from my friend. In the corporate world, friendship are made strategically with those people who are in power and position. So in the regular world, Sakhyam is all connected with my advantage. But in the spiritual world, Sakhyam is not connected with my advantage. It is connected with how I can serve Krishna as his friend. Sudama, when he went to Dwarakapuri, his wife inspired him to go, telling him that your friend is Krishna. You go to him. His wife also did not tell him, go and ask him something. His wife said, go to him. That's it. Just by going and meeting your friend, something will happen. And Sudama, the only intention with which he went to Krishna was with the thought that, let me go to Krishna. There is no harm in going to Krishna because Krishna is my friend. I have not seen him for a long period of time. At least I'll go get to have his darshan. And let me offer something to Krishna as a service. So when Sudama passed through all those gates, nobody stopped him at all. He was a completely disheveled, weak, emaciated, tattered clothes, and quite a, you know, helpless type of personality. What can such a person do for God? So when Sudama, he just walked through, and as soon as he reached the palace of Krishna, and Krishna came to know that his friend Sudama has come, the guard stopped him at the entrance. But when the guards told Krishna that Sudama, his friend, has come, Krishna ran to the gate. Lakshmipati ran to receive somebody who is a beggar. And Krishna held his hand and brought him and kept him on his own bed. He made him sit on his own bed. And Rukmini Devi, who is a goddess of fortune, she was, you know, doing the chamar. So all the guards and all the people in that palace are thinking, who is this person? Where did he come from? You know, Krishna is personally washing his feet. Krishna is massaging his feet. Krishna is personally feeding him. Rukmini Devi, the goddess of fortune, she is fanning him. They thought he must be some really important person. This is Sakhyam. Sakhyam means when you come to Krishna with the right mood, Krishna reciprocates more than you can expect. So, Krishna immediately, of course, he inquired about Sudama's present, and he also inquired about, he started discussing about Krishna, the past. What is Sakhyam? Sakhyam is always associated with memories that are pleasant. Memories that are like, even today, all of y'all, I'm sure, you must be recollecting your school days and college days, where exchanges between friends was with no expectation most of the times. Fun. Just fun. You know. And Sudama was one such friend for Krishna, where at that point of time, their friendship was at such a level that it was a totally innocent level of friendship. Because as you grow in your age, innocence goes away. And therefore, all that you're left with is political allies, you know. Strategically, you need to know. Like, Krishna is in Dwaraka right now. And Dwaraka is a place where immediately, as soon as Krishna left Vrindavan, friends, enemies. The distinguishing started, you know. Anytime there is empire, anytime there is any kind of organization, means there will be differentiation. But the school days or college days, whatever, the younger days when there is innocence, it's no question of friends and enemies. So here, Krishna started remembering what they had done in the younger days together at the Gurukul. And what are the things that Krishna remembered the most? Krishna remembered that one story of them being lost in the forest, trying to render service to their Guru, trying to get wood, fetch wood from the Guru, and they got lost. And when they were lost, though they were lost, there was a windstorm, there was a rainstorm, and it was extremely cold. They both held each other's hands throughout the night. They were sitting in the middle of the forest throughout the night, completely lost. But in one hand they held the stick, the logs of wood, and in the other hand they held each other's hands. This indicates what is friendship on the highest level. From our point of view, when we find a story like this, what does Krishna and Sudama's friendship indicate for us? Krishna and Sudama's friendship indicates two things. One, both of them were holding each other's hands in spite of all the calamity. And the second, they were holding on to the mission of their guru in spite of all the calamity. It's not that for them they decided mission of guru is important, forget each other. Bhag jao tum, I'll save myself, I'll take the wood and go first. And it's not that friendship is important, mission ko bhaad mein jaye. Not. Both. They held on to each other's hands. What is friendship among devotees? This is what it is. Be together in thick and thin, doing good times and bad times, supporting each other, inspiring each other, giving strength to each other. At the same time, being together is not just about enjoying each other's company. Being together is about being value to the mission. That means the whole purpose of being together, whole purpose of friendship among devotees is not to have a social gathering. It's to come together and inspire one another to increase one's commitment to the mission. And that's what Krishna and Sudama's friendship is about. So when they held each other's hand all through the night, Krishna remembered this warmth very intensely even at this point of time. Probably at this point of time, Krishna's life, he would have been at least something like 100 years old or something, you know. Because, so that means this friendship was 80 years old. 80 years before they were friends. And now it's like, you know, 80 years later, Krishna is recalling that one incident of holding each other's hands. That's the warmth of friendship. When you do something that touches one's heart, when you do something selfless for one another, at the same time keeping the mission of the spiritual master in mind, those memories remain eternally in your heart. And those are the memories that will inspire you to continue your friendship, in spite of not really physically being together. In today's time and age, people are all the time together. Through social media, through WhatsApp, through phone, this, that. All the time together, but absolutely no intimacy. Why? The reason people are together is because what's in it for me? And the second thing is, there's nothing common to contribute. It's all about taking. It's not about giving. And when Sudama and Krishna did this, at the end of this whole pastime, the next day morning, Sandipani Muni personally came searching for his disciples. And he found Krishna and Sudama in the middle of the forest, holding each other's hand and holding the logs of woods. He gave both of them a blessing. So he said three things as blessings to what kind of service, the quality of service they did, and the quality of friendship that they exhibited. The result of this is three things. Sundamini Muni, he said, first is they will experience satisfaction in life. And that's what you find in Sudama's Leela. Sudama never complained that he had nothing. And Krishna never complained that he had nothing. If you study both of their lives, Krishna is such a personality that he helped so many people conquer so many kingdoms. He helped the Pandavas conquer Hastinapur. He conquered Jarasandha. Bhima and Arjun actually killed Jarasandha, but this Krishna was instrumental. He never sat on the throne. He made Jarasandha's son sit on the throne. Ugrasen, he killed Kamsa, and he made Ugrasen sit on the throne. So essentially, if you study whole of Krishna Leela, Krishna always exhibited one quality in his life. What is that? Satisfaction. Not wanting more than what he had. Enough. He was happy with what he had. That's the blessing of Sandipani Muni. And Sudama exhibited satisfaction in all his life. And the second thing is, Sandipani Muni blessed them with the understanding that the Vedic mantras, what they learn, will never lose its meaning. So whatever knowledge Krishna and Sandipani Sudama learned would never lose its meaning. Which also means, from our point of view, when we are doing both these things, loyal to the mission of the spiritual master and loyal to the missionaries of the spiritual master, the result of that is that the Vedic understanding, the scriptures, will actually become meaningful to us. We'll actually be able to understand the meaning of the scriptures. If you are loyal to the spiritual master, the mission of the spiritual master, but you're not loyal to the missionaries, or you're loyal to the missionaries, but you're not loyal to the mission of the spiritual master, if one of the two is there, this symptom will not happen. And the third thing that Sandipani Muni blessed them with is, all their desires will be fulfilled. So this is the result of friendship that Krishna and Sudama personally experienced in their lives. Of course, contrary to that, in the Mahabharata we find the story of Drona and Drupada, where both of them were friends from school days, but their friendship was centered around expectations. So whenever a friendship is centered around expectations, it ends miserably. Even if one of them expect, the friendship ends miserably. And Sudama and Krishna's friendship is not centered around expectation, but is centered around giving, not expecting anything. Another type of friendship that we find in the Bhagavad is, and the Mahabharata, is a friendship between Krishna and Arjun. So the combination of this Sakyam, it takes friendship to another level only, another dimension, where literally Krishna and Arjuna lived together so many days. Literally living, and when they would live together, they were actually sleeping on the same bed. Sometimes Krishna would lie on Arjuna's lap. Sometimes Arjuna would lie on Krishna's lap. And they were so intimately connected to one another, it was like two bodies and one soul only. Literally, they were extremely intimately connected to one another. One time, Narada Muni, he couldn't understand what's going on between Krishna and Arjun, because for him, he is in, you know, Dasya Bhav. He is in the whole mood is like, he is constantly venerating and worshipping Krishna. And suddenly he finds Arjuna is like in such an intimate mood, because one night he saw Arjuna and Krishna were sleeping on the same bed, and Arjuna's leg was on Krishna's chest. Somehow he turned around, you know. I don't know how he turned around. But he turned around in the night and Arjuna's leg was on Krishna's chest. Narayana couldn't fathom this. He said, come on, what's happening? Arjuna will go to hell for this. He went and told Krishna, my dear Krishna, your friend is offending you like anything. He doesn't know what he is doing. Krishna said, you relax. So Krishna naturally wanted Narayana Muni to understand in his way what is Sakyam, you know. Because Narayana Muni will not understand what is Sakyam, you know, in the regular way. So he said, you go to Arjuna when he is sleeping in the night and you put your ears on any part of Arjuna's body. Tell me what you find. So Narayana Muni went in the night. Arjuna was sleeping. Narayana Muni held Arjuna's hands. The pulse of Arjuna was beating Krishna, 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 Krishna. And he put his head on Arjuna's chest. The heart beats Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Only names of Krishna were happening. Wherever Narayana Muni touched, the only vibration that was coming was Krishna's names. This is Sakyam at the highest level. So Narayana Muni, he realized, I should not interfere in this. It's both uncha mamla hai. Narayana Muni quietly went away, understanding Krishna's friendship with Arjuna. So here in this particular relationship, Krishna actually teaches what it means to be a true friend. Arjuna and Krishna literally shared each other's difficulties. And if you study the episode of Krishna helping Arjuna during the Jayadrath episode, Arjuna taken a vow to kill Jayadrath, and Krishna went out of his way to help Arjuna to achieve his goal. When Arjuna had taken this vow of helping the Brahmanas get back his sons, Krishna actually went up with Arjuna till abode of Mahavishnu, out of this universe, you know. So he was ready to go to such an extent to help him and serve his friend. And of course, the greatest exhibition of Krishna's friendship is when Arjuna was in difficulty, when he was in confusion before the war of Mahabharata, we find Krishna taking the role of a guide and giving the Upadesha of the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, which essentially means that a friend is not just at one level. He is at multiple levels and one needs to know how to change gears. Krishna was a very intimate friend, having very sweet exchanges with Arjuna on a regular basis. But at certain times, Krishna would take on different roles. Like in the time of Arjuna's greatest confusion, Arjuna took shelter of Krishna, and there the Bhagavad Gita explains that how Krishna smiled. Prahasaniva Bharata. Krishna smiled. What is Krishna's smile indicating? Krishna's smile is indicating that now a friend has become a disciple. Change of roles. And as soon as Arjuna changed his role, Krishna changed his role also. Krishna became a teacher from a friend. So essentially, what is Sakyam? Sakyam is about not what is in it for me, but how can I serve my friend? How can I serve Krishna? How can Krishna? So Krishna is also interested in serving his friends. And therefore, the roles change constantly. The mood remains the same, but depending on the need, depending on the situation, slightly there's adjustment in the mood that is made for friendship. And of course, we find in the Mahabharata again, there's a very unique type of friendship that in the history of the world has never happened in the past and never happened in the future. Friendship between Krishna and Draupadi. Krishna calls Draupadi his sakhe. All the time, Krishna is addressing Draupadi as his friend. And here, the kind of friendship that is between Draupadi and Krishna is at a very, very high level. There's a total dependence. And of course, the story of Krishna having a cut in his hand and Draupadi coming and tying a sari on that, you know, on to stop that. It's not really in the Mahabharata directly, but it's a folk tale that is connected, which very much signifies the mood. So Draupadi signifies that kind of friendship which is at the level of dependence. Depending on Krishna for guidance, depending on Krishna for protection, depending on Krishna for enlightenment. And Sakyam, so like just like we have Navida Bhakti in the Bhagavat, Arjuna is given as example for Sakyam, as the person who personifies Sakyam. Similarly, in the Ramayana, all the characters of the Ramayana, there is a Navida Bhakti in the Ramayana also. And the Sakyam is signified or portrayed by Sugriv. So, Sugriv, he conveys this concept of Sakyam with Lord Ram. And there are some very interesting points about Sakyam when it comes to Sugriv's life. So, when the first time Sugriv saw Ram was when Ram was walking. So Sugriv was on top of the Rishabhuga mountain, and from top he saw Ram walking. Just by seeing the walk of Ram, Sugriv had two thoughts in his mind. He said, if this person is a friend of Vali, then I am dead. Because he saw just the confidence of Ram's walk itself conveyed that this person is too powerful. And he said, if this person is not a friend of Vali, then I have hope. If I become his friend, then Baji Palat Sakta, you know, the whole thing can change. So he sent Hanumanji to bring Ram to where he was. So when Hanumanji saw Ram, he just the first glance at Ram, Ram was wearing the dress of the forest, you know, he was wearing tree bark and deer skin. And one of his shoulders was open. He's wearing a deer skin across his torso. And one of the shoulders of Ram was open. And when Hanuman saw the open shoulders of Ram, his first thought was, Ram has two qualities. The first quality that he has is Rakshatattva. That means, just by looking at the powerful shoulders of Ram, he said, this person can protect anyone. And he compared Ram to a sword. The sword has the ability to protect. And the second thing that Ram has, the same time, he has Rakshatattva, that means he can protect. And the second quality that Ram has is Bhogatattva. That means he can give you enjoyment. The word Rama means all pleasure. Looking at him, taking his name, there is intense amount of pleasure one experiences. And the example that is given is, Ram signifies a lotus. How can one person be at the same time a sword and a lotus? Either you are a sword or you are a lotus. The lotus can't do the job of a sword, and the sword can't do the job of a lotus. But when Hanumanji saw Ram, he saw both Rakshatattva and Bhogatattva. And finally, Hanumanji, they had an elaborate discussion. I'll not get into that details. He brought Ram to Sugriv. And this is something that we need to remember. This is what Sakyam represents at our level. I'm slowly coming down from the highest level of the Gopas and Vrindavan, slowly to Mahabharat, to slowly to the Ramayana, and then it'll come to our life. You know, that's how Sakyam is. So when Ram saw Sugriv for the first time, when Sugriv saw Ram for the first time, face to face, Ram kept staring at the face of Sugriv for a long period of time. Now the Acharyas make a big commentary about this. Why is Ram staring at Sugriv? First of all, he is a monkey. I mean, nothing great to look at monkey's face for a long period of time, you know. On top of that, you know, I mean, there's not even a great amount of beauty in Sugriv that Ram keeps looking at Sugriv. So what does Ram look at Sugriv for? Why is he looking at such a long time at Sugriv? There is a reason behind it. Suppose there is a mother who had a small child, small baby, and this baby fell sick. Extreme high fever. And somehow the other baby recovered from fever, it became okay. Again it gets fever. And again it recovers. A third time a baby gets fever, it's considered to be life-threatening. And suppose the baby recovers after a third high degree of fever, and somehow the other survives the whole thing. How will the mother look at its baby, at her baby? She will feel like looking at the baby forever, because she almost lost the child and she has got the child back. So why is Ram looking at Sugriv, staring at him like anything? The reason is because Sugriv is a living entity who has been lost from the association of the Lord for a long period of time. And finally, now, Sugriv is going to make a decision. I am going to serve Ram again. So because Sugriva is going to take this decision that he is going to serve Ram again, Ram is staring at this living entity who is coming back to his association. So of course, Sugriva initially he treats Ram as a friend only. But even at that level, and of course Ram also treats Sugriva as a friend only, because in one sense, what they identified was, both of them had same problems. Sugriva also lost his kingdom, Ram also lost his kingdom. Sugriva also lost his wife, Ram also lost his wife. Sugriva and Ram, they shook hands. Hanumanji, when he saw Sugriva shaking hands with Ram, he hit his head. He said, how can he shake hands with Ram? Because from Hanumanji's perspective, there's only one way you can deal with Ram, touch his feet. So when Hanumanji touches the feet of Ram, he holds the feet of Ram. And Ram touches his shoulders to pick him up. Hanumanji tells Ram, my dear Lord, don't pick me up. You know why? The Acharyas explain that as soon as Ram picks up Hanumanji, once Hanumanji is straight, Ram will leave his hand. So Hanumanji's point of view is that my hand should be at your feet and your hand should be at my shoulders. This is constitutional position of Hanumanji. This is the position he wants to be forever. So with such a person, he is seeing Sugriv shaking hands with Ram, he can't believe it. What a person he is. But this is rasa. Sakhyam, this is allowed. And so, Ram's connection with Sugriv at the level of friendship. So when Sugriv connected with Ram in the initial stage, there was lack of confidence in the friendship. So Sugriv did not have full faith in Ram's ability, because he had great fear about Vali's abilities. So when you have great fear of material things, then you do not have confidence in spiritual things. So for Sugriv to develop friendship with Ram, first he had to get out of the fear that he had from Vali. And then when Vali was killed, there is explanation that is given of how Vali was killed. So Sugriv explains in elaborate details about the power of Vali's chest. He says Vali's chest is like a mountain. It has the power of a mountain. Vali's back is like, you know, thunderbolt. So he's giving elaborate description of Vali's powers to Ram. And when Ram killed Vali, the explanation that is given is that it was as if a pin is pricked into a banana, ripe banana. When a pin is pricked into a ripe banana, how easily it goes in? No effort at all. You don't have to really put effort to put a pin into a ripe banana. Similarly, Ram's arrow went into Vali's chest. Just like that. Like a pin goes into a ripe banana. And as soon as Ram did that, Sugriva's confidence increased in Ram. So, in this whole episode, at the end of this episode, there is a beautiful description that Tara, the wife of Vali, who is killed by Ram, she gives. She talks about three levels of friendship and how Ram is the highest level of friend. So she says, there are three types of people. The first type of person is Adama. Adama means such a person, he lives only for himself. So that means for such a person, he doesn't mind giving trouble to others to enjoy. So the first type of friend is Adama. That means he is the lowest class of friend. That means for one's own enjoyment, he'll give all trouble to his friend. The second type of friend is Madhyama. Madhyama means I should live and you also should live. So Madhyama is a type of friend who says, I don't mind doing something for you, but you also should do something for me. It's like give and take, win-win. And the third type of friend is Uttama. Uttama is such a friend, for others' sake, he is ready to sacrifice anything. He is ready to make any sacrifices for the sake of others. So Tara, who is the wife of Vali, she tells Ram that you are Uttama friend. Who is Tara? Her husband has been killed by Ram just now. And the killer, the person who has killed her husband, she is glorifying him. Can you imagine? This has never happened in the history of the world, you know, that somebody whose husband is killed, that person is glorifying the killer only. So Tara, she tells Ram that you are the best friend to have, because for the sake of friendship, you are ready to make all kinds of personal sacrifices. So you are the topmost type of friend. And therefore, from our point of view, what is Sugriv? Sugriv or Kishkindha, the middle place. There are three things in Ramayana: Ayodhya, Kishkindha, and Lanka. Lanka represents complete ignorance. Lanka represents type of people who are only interested in themselves, only interested in fun, eat, marry, and be happy. Kali Yuga, typical Kali Yuga products in all part of Lanka. And Ayodhya represents those people who never think of themselves; they only think of the highest, high-charactered people. And Kishkindha represents people like us, who are between Ayodhya and Lanka, who are Vanara. Vanara means, it's a question, are you a human? So people in Kishkindha, they are always asked this question, are you a human? That means if you behave like a human, you are closer to Ayodhya. And if you don't behave like a human, you are closer to Lanka. So Kishkindha is geographically also between the two places, and mentally also between the two places. So the Kishkindha mindset is Sugriv's mindset, it's our mindset. Sometimes Sugriv is enthusiastic to serve Ram, and sometimes he completely forgets his seva, and he's enjoying himself, and somebody has to go and remind him, you know. So Ram has to send Lakshman, Guru, to remind you, "Arey, kya ho gaya, seva kya? You took responsibility, what happened?" You know. So that's how we are. Constantly we need reminder, constantly we need pushing, and we go on life. Sakhyam, from our point of view, Krishna makes a very beautiful point in the Gita, and the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami also makes this point. The point is that, what is Sakhyam from our perspective? Sakhyam is doing something for the welfare of Krishna. What can we do for the welfare of Krishna? The concept of preaching. When we share the message of the Gita, when we share the message of the Bhagavat with others, we are actually the best well-wishing friends of Krishna. So if you want to practice Sakhyam in your life, Navida Bhakti, all the varieties, all the nine things we can practice. If we want to practice Sakhyam in our life, we can't practice Sakhyam like the Gopas in Vrindavan. We can't give food that is filled with some bitter things to Krishna. We can't practice Sakhyam like Sudama taking chipped rice which is old and stale to Krishna. Doesn't work. We can't practice Sakhyam like how Arjuna practiced, putting our leg on Krishna's chest. Doesn't work. What is Sakhyam at our level? At our level, Sakhyam is when we become Krishna's well-wishers. Who is the best, most well-wishing friend of Krishna? The one who spreads the message of Krishna to the world. Krishna is trying to achieve he has a dream. Anybody who can help fulfill Krishna's dream, even to a minute extent, becomes Krishna's friend. What is the dream of Krishna? The dream of Krishna is that literally every living entity in this world should go back to the spiritual world. Big dream. And therefore, he needs a lot of friends. He needs a lot of well-wishers. And therefore, the opportunity for all of us to be Krishna Sakha is very much there. And that's what Sakhyam is about. So essentially, the Srimad Bhagavatam begins with a question. What do the sages of Naimisharanya, the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the very first chapter, begins with a question. The questions that the sages of Naimisharanya are asking is essentially what Sakhyam is fully about. What are the sages of Naimisharanya asking? The question they are asking Suta Goswami is, what is the most important activity for human beings to do in Kali Yuga? So assisting every living entity to perform this activity, which is devotional service, is Sakhyam. And therefore, the more we try to inspire people to connect with Krishna consciousness, the more we are Krishna Sakha. So every person in this world has four debts. As soon as we are born with four debts. And each of these debts have to be fulfilled by the time we leave this world. The first debt is that we have debt to the gods and the demigods. And we fulfill this debt by performing yajna. The second debt we have is to the rishis, to the sages who have done so much for us. We fulfill that debt to the sages by studying the scriptures and by performing austerities. The third debt we have is to the pitras or the forefathers. We fulfill the debt to the pitras by performing shraddha and by performing those kind of rituals. And the fourth debt is the debt to humanity. We repay this debt to humanity by serving humanity. And that's what Sakhyam is about. So the more we give, the more we receive. And a well that is having a lot of water but is never giving, that well starts stinking after some time. And therefore, only when we give what we receive, then we will remain fresh. So essentially, I'll share one story about how this whole concept of Sakhyam is very dear to the Lord. This is a story that happened in South India, in a place which is known as Srirangam. And here, there was one very powerful king whose name was Alabandar. So this king, he was born in a Brahminical family. He was an exalted personality. He was an Acharya, in fact. But somehow or other, he got some big award and he became a king. And he completely forgot his duties towards the Lord. He completely forgot his connection with the Supreme Lord. And his guru, his name was Nathamuni. Actually, he was his grandfather. So Nathamuni was very, very fond of Alabandar. And he was very dissatisfied that Alabandar had gone into complete material life. And he completely forgot the Supreme Lord. So Nathamuni told one of his disciples, whose name was Ramamishra, to go and somehow or other get Alabandar back into track. So Ramamishra, he went to the kingdom of Alabandar. And Alabandar was a powerful king. And Ramamishra, he straight went to the king's kitchen. The best way to enter a man's heart is through the belly. So our temple, the Hare Krishna movement, no program ends without prasad. So andar jayega, lekin pachega khane ke baad. So all the knowledge that you take in, it gets digested when you eat prasad, you know. So he went straight to the kitchen and he cooked a very special vegetable preparation, which is known as Thuduvalai. So a green leafy vegetable. And this vegetable preparation was served to the king. This king loved it. He just loved it like anything. So he said, this vegetable should be made every day. So this Ramamishra, he would come every day to the kitchen. He'll get the vegetables. He would make Thuduvalai, sabji, and he would go back. And the cooks wanted to award him. The king wanted to award him. He never accepted anything. He only every day came, cooked, and went back. After a long period of time, when the king was sufficiently addicted to the Thuduvalai sabji, Ramamishra stopped coming. So the king said, where is this? I want that preparation. The cook said, we don't know how to make this preparation. And some person would come, he would make and he would go. He never taught us and we don't know where to get that also. The king said, nothing doing, get it, otherwise I'll not eat. Somehow the other they found him and they got him. And they said, the king wants to see you. And then he went to the king. And the king asked him, you know, why did you disappear? So he said, I came because I wanted to give you a message. And this is a very important message. And only I can give it to you. I can't give it to anybody else. The king said, tell me what the message is. By this time, he was already fond of Ramamishra. The Ramamishra said, the message is that your grandfather, he has left a treasure for you. And he wants me to hand over this treasure only to you. The king said, of course, now I need the wealth because I'm planning a big attack. So I need as much wealth as possible. So he said, no, not like that. I can't give you the wealth like that. You have to personally come and collect it. The king said, tell me, take me wherever you want. I'll come. And the king was preparing his whole army. He said, no taking army. You have to personally come alone. Only then I can give you the treasure. He said, what a treasure? I mean, what kind of treasure is this? He said, this treasure is lying very far from here. And it is lying inside seven walls. And in the center of seven walls, this treasure is there. And this treasure is not just lying like that. It is protected by a thousand-hooded snake. And only when the right person comes, the treasure opens up. So the king was really excited, you know. Anywhere treasure, nowadays, so many treasures are coming up, it seems, you know. So king was excited. He wanted to go and take the treasure. So Ram Mishra, he started taking the king to the to along with him. And the king was sitting on the horse, and Ram Mishra was walking ahead of him. And as Ram Mishra was walking ahead, constantly he was reciting the verses of the Bhagavad Gita. And the king, he was a powerful sage in the past. His name was Yamunacharya. He was an exalted Vaishnava in the past. But he had completely forgotten, because he was intoxicated by the wealth and the material concepts, that he got disconnected. But slowly, as he was hearing the verses of the Gita, his memory started coming back. His attachment to the Supreme Lord started reviving. And as Ram Mishra was reciting the verses of the Gita one by one, the king, he started really intensely connecting. He said, "Don't stop reciting these verses. Just keep constantly reciting them." And finally, Ram Mishra, they kept walking and they kept singing. And when Ram Mishra reached the 12th chapter, he spoke this verse of Mai Avesha Mano Yema, where Krishna is telling, "Those who fix his mind on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be the most perfect." As soon as Alabandar heard this verse, he stopped. He fell at the feet of Ram Mishra and he said, "I don't want any treasure. I don't want to go anywhere. Take me to my grandfather. Take me. I want to start my spiritual practice again." Ram Mishra said, "See, nothing doing. I will take you to your treasure. Only then I'll go." Alabandar kept going, and finally they reached where the treasure was. The treasure that the grandfather had left for the king was the deity of Ranganath. So they went. The seven walls represent the seven walls on the temple of Ranganath. Ranganath is, the temple is between the seven walls, and there's a snake that is guarding. That is Anantashesh. You know, is right on top of the Ranganath deity that is lying down. And the wealth is darshan of Ranganath and service to the lotus feet of Ranganath. And Alabandar, Yamunacharya, when he saw Ranganath's beautiful form, as soon as he saw that form, he collapsed over there, fell unconscious, because he immediately revived his old memories of his service to the Supreme Lord, and he gave up his position as a king, he gave up his attachment to material things, and he became one of the most exalted acharyas in the Sri Sampradaya, Yamunacharya, who eventually became the guru of Ramanujacharya. So we find that the way in which Yamunacharya got inspired to reconnect with his old roots of Krishna consciousness was through the preaching of Ram Mishra. And therefore, we find that though Yamunacharya gets the credit of reconnecting back with the Supreme Lord and being such a powerful acharya, Ram Mishra is more dear to the Lord because he is the one who helped Yamunacharya reconnect. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he makes a very interesting comment in his books. He says, "Who is a Vaishnav? Vaishnav is one who is judged by the number of people he has made Vaishnavs." So it's very interesting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is defining somebody to be a Vaishnav from this point of view. Of course, numbers is not the point. But the point is that the endeavor to help somebody connect with Krishna, that endeavor is something that makes one the well-wisher and friend of Krishna. And therefore, from our point of view, Sakhyam boils down to this. When we can assist in the preaching movement in whatever capacity we can, whatever little role we can, and with whatever little desire we have, we can actually become Sakhas, Krishna Sakha. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.